Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're now in 2 Samuel, chapter 23, and there are 39 verses in this chapter. And also we're doing part 11 of receiving or accepting the discipline of the Holy Spirit. We also have a couple of letters from here and there in the world. Can't read more than two a night because the tapes are not long enough, and time doesn't afford for us to be able to do that. But let's all go up to the throne of the Lord to ask him to bless this tape, to anoint it. Father God, we thank and praise your holy name for your word. We thank you for our ability to be able to, like incense, send prayers up to you and for us to receive the answers back, to receive anointing, and to know that when we're praying to you, that we know that you're hearing us, and we know that you would be very irritated if we were praying to you and we didn't believe that you were hearing us. It would be that we're just putting on a show for people to try to make ourselves look holy. But Lord, I know you're hearing me, and I know that you're the same today as you were in the days when you created the earth. And Jesus, you're the same as you were when you were casting out demons in people and when you gave the authority to your disciples to cast out demons. You're the same as you were when you laid hands on people, Lord, and they recovered from all sorts of sickness, diseases, infirmities. And you're the same Lord Jesus that spoke to the tomb, to the man in the tomb, and he came, he was dead for 4 days, and you said, Lazarus, come forth, and he did. And so therefore, knowing that you're hearing us today, and you're still the same, you can do everything today the same as you did then, but there are so few people that have faith, Lord. And this, I know, is why you told me to read the Bible to the brothers and sisters, because many brothers and sisters don't have the faith to believe that you wanted them to do it. And they didn't study enough. They thought that other things were far more important. And so you put that on me, and ever since I've been doing it, Lord, I thank you for the blessings. And this is how I know that you're still the same. Your doctrine is the same, your policies are the same, your mode of operandus is the same. If a person will serve you, you will. If they believe you, first we have to have faith, then you will bless them. And if they don't, well, then you will curse them. You'll discipline. It's a discipline of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that you heal all the children and all the adults in the church, and in your church, your body, throughout the world. And we ask, Lord, that you destroy every power of darkness that is coming against you, your word, your children. And, Lord, that you will put them down and raise your children up. That you, Lord, I know that these messages, and we're praying that this particular message this evening and everything done on this tape will be to your glory, that everyone will open themselves to receive the chastening of the Holy Spirit, that you, in word, have given me to tell them. Lord, I've given some of these messages years ago, and you've added to them recently. And, Lord, I just pray that they've grown enough now to be able to receive the messages. These messages, we pray that everyone will receive them in their mind so that they might have the mind of Christ, and that they receive them into their spirits so that they can grow to the fullness of the stature of yourself. Father God, heal everyone and give everyone great boldness and courage and anointing. But they themselves must cooperate with you, Lord. And I pray that these messages will cause them to do that in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. I can feel the power of God there. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's read these two letters. Now, where is the first one from, Michelle?
From Oaxaca, Mexico.
Okay.
It's translated from Spanish. It says, "Hello, beloved Pastor Lamo. Thank you for the literature. We have already distributed them, and I have none left, and I would like for you to send us more. Your literature has caused many to come to the Lord."
See, send these people like this bunches, you know, send boxes full of them to them, because they're winning souls. Amen? Okay, then what?
"Many students and even priests have accepted the Lord."
See, priests, Catholic priests. Well, we've been winning Catholic priests for years. I remember one time in Los Angeles at the Crescent Heights Church, there were three guys came in with plain clothes. They were dressed. They weren't. And lo and behold, they heard my testimony. And about a year later, they didn't say anything. They went down into the prayer room, which was down in the basement. And Pat Boone's daughters were going to the church at that time, and Pat Boone's wife, Shirley. And Burt Reynolds would come in, and also that Bergen girl, what's her name?
Candace
Bergen with Burt Reynolds. And Elvis Presley would park his vehicle out on the side. It got so hot in there, we didn't have adequate air conditioning then. The window would be up, and he'd have a Rolls Royce out there, and he'd roll his window down and listen to us preaching the gospel. And read that to the last line again, because I want to get this point straight.
"Many students and even priests have accepted the Lord."
So these priests came in, and they were not dressed like priests. And about a year later, they came out to our church in Saugus on Sierra Highway. And they came to Sue and myself. They said, "Would you mind if I got up and gave a testimony?" And we says, "What is your testimony going to be? Because we don't just let anyone get up on the platform and talk." And so he said, "Well, I was in your church about a year ago with two of my friends. We were Franciscan monks. And we heard, he was talking to Susie. He says, "I heard Tony giving his testimony." He said, "Either this guy is nuttier than a fruitcake and the biggest liar that ever lived, or else he's really telling the truth, and I've got to find out." And so as the message went on, he says he really started believing, because I brought a message along with it. And he said, "I was praying about it, and the Lord revealed to me that Tony was telling the truth." He said, "So I started," and I can't remember everything that he said, but it was something. I do remember that he said that he went and told all the Franciscan monks up in the mountains where they were staying. And there was a tremendous revival there. And the problem was is that they never came out of that cult. And there's so many really nice people in there, but they're just so deceived that they didn't. And it started the charismatic movement right there in the mid-60s. And so we're used to winning Catholic priests and Mormon priests and Muslims and all different types of nationalities, because we do have the boldness to preach the gospel to anybody. It doesn't make any difference. Anyone was welcome into the service, and everyone comes in. And so all three of the priests were there in civilian clothes. So we let the guy go up there and tell his testimony. And it was fantastic. And everybody was just laughing, because they said, "We just thought that either he was crazy or a liar, you know." And he said, "Well, we found out that Tony Alamo is not crazy, and he's no liar. But in these last days," he said, "we just, it's just so hard to receive some of the things that are of the Lord, because we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith." And everything is so, it's just amazing how God cut down to Tony. And And that he just went out there and started splashing the word of God everywhere. And there was a great revival among all these hippies. And it was very noteworthy, and it's in the press all the time. And we just had to come and see. And he says, so we're on fire over there, and there's a spread throughout the entire Catholic Church. So there are people that have been saved there, these priests and nuns and everybody else, but they just, a lot of them have not come out yet. A lot have. I led, when I was just a baby Christian, I led Father Babish to the Lord, who was in charge of that big Catholic church on Sunset Boulevard between Highland and Vine Street. And he's out preaching the gospel since. I don't know. I haven't heard from him since. But he's no longer there at the, in the Catholic Church. He got out. So anyway, let's continue with this letter. But this is nothing new with us. When people say, oh, my God, Catholic priests. Yes, thousands of them. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then go ahead.
And also, if it's possible, please send me 180 Bibles. Last time you sent me Bibles, I went to a village and did not have enough for them, and I promised them I would come back with more, and that's why I'm asking you. Brother,
make sure they send them, all right? Because the Lord gives to us, and we've got to get those tracts out. Don't be stingy. Don't pinch pennies, all right? Let's just get them out, all right, right away, especially evangelists like this. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Brother Tony, right now we are working in a school that only has women. Please pray for us that we may reach these women for the Lord. We are working daily with them, distributing your literature and Bibles, and are now starting to see the result of our labor. Brother Tony, please continue to pray for my financial situation so the Lord can give me more strength to live by faith. Your brother, N.P. from Oaxaca, Mexico.
Okay, we send this man couple hundred dollars a month, okay?
Okay.
Well, I don't shoot from the hip if the Lord tells me to do it. Mm-hmm. And the Lord just did, then I do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not there to see, but we'll send for at least 6 months a couple of hundred dollars, amen? Did I ever give anything before where the Lord didn't send it back 100 times?
No.
And even more?
No.
All right, so don't worry about it. Okay, then what else?
The next letter is from Elmina, Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor, I am very happy to write you this letter. I hope you are fine as I am, and I know God is working in your ministry as you win souls for Him. I was very happy to read from your helpful and wonderful literature that has been winning souls for the Lord, including me. I want to increase my faith in Jesus. I therefore will be happy if you could arrange to send me 3 Bibles and other helpful literature to be distributed to my church members so that any time we meet to discuss the Word of God, we can understand it well and can have faith abundantly.
Well, this person needs to know, yes, we'll send it to all your church members, but we also will send some for you to go out into the highways and hedges and win those that are not in the church yet, okay? And you have to, I pray that you'll receive the scriptures that say that we, every one of us that are in the body of Christ are to win souls, and we can't just sit in and edify one another. We've got to get out there and sow the Word of God into the unsaved, and they'll get saved. Okay, we've proven that. The Bible is provable. All you got to do is do it, and you'll see that the things that the Lord says will happen, all right? And then what else?
I am praying for your ministry to continue the winning of souls. Yours sincerely, J.H.A. from Elmina, Ghana, Africa.
All right, praise the Lord. Now let's get right away, Sharon, into 2 Samuel chapter 23 with its 39 verses, commentary, and the commentary and translation. All right, let's go.
David's last song, King James Version, verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Verse 3, the God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Verse 4.
In other words, just means that you can't favor one person over the other. And a lot of people think that pastors do, because the Lord will have you spend more time with one person because they need it more. And other people say, you never spend any time with me. Well, you're not supposed to be telling a pastor what to do, because the Lord is the one guiding them. It's like the disciples saying, you go and heal all kinds of other people and raise other people from the dead, but you didn't go and raise Lazarus. Now, why are we waiting here for 4 days that he's as sick as he is? But I have to go by what the Holy Spirit does. And a lot of people say, well, you gave this person something more than you did somebody else. Well, it's because the Lord told me to do that. I wouldn't be unjust. And everyone has had a lot in this church. Yeah, there's nobody that's lacking anything. If they are, it's because they're not letting me know. Because I wouldn't have you be lacking in anything more than I would this man from Mexico who the Lord told me to give $200 to. Okay, and some people got more. Now, we may not always give him $200. The Lord just comes and says, okay, now he's on his feet, and I just give him $100 a month. Well, then I'll do that. If he said he's doing a big revival, or give him $500 a month, $1,000 a month, so I'll do it. All right? And then one church will say, maybe you're not doing as much for me as you are him out there. Or some people say, hey, you're giving all this money out, give me some. No, because you're not winning souls. So the Lord's not telling me to do that. Don't tell me what to do. The Lord tells me what to do. All right? Okay, so go ahead now.
Verse 4. And he shall be as the light of the morning, when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds.
That's a person that's just. That is, doesn't favor one person over another. Then what else?
As the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain.
Yeah, another thing too is sometimes people that are unjust and stubborn and unwilling to do anything, they want the same thing that you're giving somebody that is really of the Lord and doing something for God and is a blessing to the work instead of just belligerent and marching around like somebody's done something wrong to them. And then they expect that, God is going to love them and that you're going to love them. And that everybody's going to love them. They can't figure out why people don't love them. Well, I've been jousted about back and forth for years, and so has a lot of other people, like the Apostle Paul and others. And, a lot of people love them, no matter what they are, what they look like, or anything like that. They just like them and love them, and some people totally forsook them. So, if you're a just person and somebody's acting belligerent to you and marching around like, they're going to try to use intimidation to make you want to cater to them for some reason or another, for whatever's in their ridiculous mind. Well, that's not going to happen. You're just going to make people shun away from you and not want you or not want to be around you. The Bible says if you want to have friends, you must be friendly. Amen?
Amen.
If you want to have enemies, just act like an enemy, because people will not, you'll try to be nice to people. I mean, there's people in this church that, to them it's a big deal if they even if said good morning to you or ever said howdy or, acknowledge you whatsoever. They just like march around like you. Oh, they've done so much and they haven't done anything. They're not even willing to show themselves or let the Lord show himself off to people in and through them. And they just can't understand why you just don't cater to them more. And to me, there's such a bad testimony. I feel that one of these days the Lord is going to have me put them out of the church. because they feel that God owes them something after he's given his life for them. And that he's, you know, they just feel that you're treating other people better. Well, yeah, God does that too. For instance, there was a set of twins in the Bible. Esau and Jacob. The Bible says, Jacob have I loved, God said, but Esau I hate. Amen?
Amen.
I hate him. He doesn't say, oh, well, I hate the things that, but I love him, but I hate the things that he does. No. He said, I hate him. I hate because he's rotten to the stinking core. This man is rotten to the core, but Jacob I love. Jacob made a lot of mistakes, but his main goal was to get the blessings of the Lord. The other one didn't care anything about the blessings of the Lord. And then he starts weeping and saying, how is there not a blessing for me? And of course, there's not. Because you can't treat God or his people or any kind of people that way and have them not hate you. You know, you just can't do that. You're not going to gender love, you know, by being standoffish and being smart-alecky. All that's going to do is give you, God says he'll give you many stripes. Amen?
Amen.
And send your soul right square into hell and the lake of fire. Because you don't live your life in the Holy Spirit. Your actions are not spiritually holy. They're not. You kind of people like that. And I'm just saying this not because I hate you. Yeah, completely hate you, but I hate anyone that doesn't, that's about it. Jesus instructs me to do it. He says, hate evil. Amen?
Amen.
And you're evil because you don't, there's like a whole family of people in this church that they don't acknowledge human beings as being anything but a bunch of scum. They just think there's something else, and they've got it in their mind that everyone is scum but them. And really, according to the Word of God, they're scum.
Amen.
They really are scum. And they just feel that they've always got a chip on their shoulder. They're always looking for somebody that's getting blessed more than they are so that they can get even more hostile. And you can get it. The more hostile you get, the worse off you go. I've seen many people like that, and they're not here in the church anymore. They just had enough of it, and they think they're going to be treated better out in the world. You're crazy if that's what you think. People will be the same out there to you, because people today are extremely sensitive, and they're anti the Word of God. You go and try to tell them about the Lord, which you don't do here in the church, but you try to do it to them, and they're liable to put a gun in your face. All right, let's continue on.
Verse 5, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure. For this is all my salvation, and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. Verse 6, but the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away.
Like the sons of Satan. Okay, then what else?
Because they cannot be taken with hands. Verse 7, but the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. Verse 8, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had.
Yeah, these people will say, you know, you can't harm me, God can't get me. You just don't think God can get you. There's some belligerent people in this church that I was bending over backwards to try to get them to be appreciative. And so I was hiring people to teach them violin lessons, piano lessons, guitar lessons. And some of them got so unappreciative of the gesture that I made that they started getting really belligerent even more. And so I just cut them off from that. These lessons were costing $60 a lesson per person. And some of them, where the people were coming all the way out here for the guitar lessons, they run $60 a lesson. That's a lot of money to be paying on a bunch of belligerent people that don't appreciate it. You know that? That's $120 a week because they get two guitar lessons a week. That's $240 every 2 weeks. And so one of the boys that I was given the guitar lessons to, he started lying around the church and lying about everybody. And so not only did I have to put him out of the church, but I took him off guitar lessons. If they think I'm going to exalt them and let them play on the platform and they're going to do these things, they're crazy. There has to be some chastening of the Holy Spirit. So he's not going to take guitar lessons anymore. Then there's three of the girls that were taking violin and piano. I had to pull two or three of them off. It meant that they were getting, I think we were paying $15 a half hour for them. But that's a lot of money too, amen? They're only getting one lesson a week. Because they spend the rest of the week supposedly practicing. But that's it for them. It's just like, they say, thank you, and then that's it, you know. But they show themselves to be belligerent around the house. They start cutting up and lying and doing all kinds of other things in the church, and they had to be stopped. And that's it. The more you give them, the worse they get. Okay, and then what? I'm just trying to give you some illustrations that the Word of God is true, and that I react to people that are belligerent. Go ahead.
Verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had: the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time.
Okay, now we go to the translation, and we'll continue on with the translation because I believe it's going to be a series of the different men, and it's going to be the same in the translations as it would be in the King James. So we'll just continue to the end with the translation.
David's last song, translation verse 1. Now these are the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, declares, the man who was raised on high declares, the anointed of the God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel. Verse 2, quote, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. So he says, bracket, just as Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord was the one that was spoke by him. And bracket.
Yeah, the Spirit of the Lord is on me this day. Then it says that he has anointed me to preach the gospel and to heal the sick and so on and so forth. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
And his word was on my tongue. Bracket, so it was the Lord that wrote the songs, not David. He used him as a vessel, an instrument to do it.
And just like the Lord uses me to speak and write as well. Amen? Go ahead.
And bracket, verse 3. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me. He who rules over men righteously, who rules in the fear of God, verse 4, is as the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without clouds, when the tender grass springs out of the earth through sunshine after rain.
That's how it is if a person is teaching the Word of God correctly and is ruling fairly, as the Holy Spirit leads you to. And how dare anyone question that? Amen?
Amen.
Some people, you pay more attention to this verse than you do me. How do you know the Lord? See, the Lord, if I'm doing that, then the Lord is leading me to pay more attention to that person than he is you. You just keep your mouth shut because you're making yourself like a very hateful, doleful bird. Amen?
Amen?
Like a cormorant, a bittern, a bat, a vulture, a stork. You don't eat those type of birds, you know. We don't see them on restaurant menus, stork sandwiches, pelican sandwiches. You know, they're doleful. Amen?
Amen?
They're not food. A duck sandwich. You're not to eat duck or geese, because they don't have gizzards, amen?
Amen?
Oh, I could talk about the Bible all day long, you know, different things. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 5. Truly is not my house so with God, for he has made an everlasting covenant with me, ordered in all things and secured. For all my salvation and all my desire, will he not indeed make it grow? Verse 6. But the worthless, every one of them, will be thrust away like thorns.
Right here, the worthless want to be treated the same as the just. How dare you think such things as that, when the Bible is just the opposite? If you're a liar and you never repented from it, and don't compare yourself to a person that lied and has confessed it and repented of it, and not just said that, but has done it. Some liars say, well, I repented, but you catch them in lies the next day, every day of their lives. You know? So don't expect to be treated the same as a person that once was a liar, but now it just doesn't tell anything but the truth. Somebody that's confessed. Okay, go ahead.
But the worthless, every one of them, will be thrust away like thorns, because they cannot be taken in hand. Verse 7. But the man who touches them must be armed with iron and the shaft of a spear, and they will be completely burned with fire in their place. Unquote. His mighty men, verse 8. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had: Joshab, Bathshebeth, Tachmonite, chief of the captains. He was called Adino the Ezrite because of the 800 slain by him at one time. The Eznite because of the 800 slain by him at one time. Verse 9. And after him was Eleazar the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there to battle. And the men of Israel had withdrawn. Verse 10. He arose and struck the Philistines until his hand was weary and clung to the sword, and the Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to strip the slain. Verse 11. Now after him was Shammah the son of Agi the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered into a troop, for there was a plot of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. Verse 12, but he took his stand in the midst of the plot, defended it, and struck the Philistines, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Verse 13, then 3 of the 30 chief men...
That's symbolic of a person standing up against the whole world today with the gospel when it's not the popular thing to do. The popular thing to do today is lie, steal, be a lesbian or homosexual. The popular thing is to commit adultery and fornication, to be against God, to hate the Word of God. These are all popular things to do. But a person that's really powerful, it shows one man standing here and just slaying the whole area of people, these Philistines. And that's the way it is with people that are really bold in these last days. They're going to stand up and take on the whole world if necessary, and if they get killed in the process, they don't care, because in their last dying breath, they want to be proclaiming the gospel and living the life of the Lord. These are all symbolic mighty men of the gospel. And anyone that does that in these last days is going to be highly exalted in heaven. Because in heaven, people are given ministries there. Some people will be in charge. He says he'll give them... Station them in heaven with different positions of authority there, because God had different angels that had different authority in heaven, and God never changes his mode of operandus. He still has the same way of running things, ruling things. He uses his servants to take care of the kingdom of heaven. There'll be big shots here on earth, and there'll be big shots in the kingdom of heaven. Not these people themselves. They say, look, we've got 3 million people standing out there, and they're preaching all kinds of false doctrine. Those people will say, did we not do great and mighty works in your name? And the Lord will tell them to depart, because he never knew them. It was their works but it wasn't the work of the Lord. They wouldn't allow the Lord to live in them and through them. And so every time we speak, it must be not us, but the Spirit of the Lord talking through us, okay? And just have to learn to walk by the Spirit, to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, to die daily, to begin life again every morning. Life begins right now. This is when life begins, is now. And if you're just like, you know, you just look and say, what? I don't live that way. No, you don't. And that's why it's such a shock to you every time it's said. Because you have no intentions of living that way. But life begins today. Or if it's this evening, life begins this evening. Okay, then what?
Then 3 of the 30 chief men went down and came to David in the harvest time to the cave of Adullam, while the troop of the Philistines was camping in the valley of Rephaim. Verse 14. David was then in the stronghold, while the garrison of the Philistines was in Bethlehem. Verse 15. David had a craving and said, quote, oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 16. So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines.
Another gate is like what they used is the city hall. They set up all their businesses there at the gate of the city, and when they'd say they'd sit at the gate and they would make decisions, it was like the city hall back then in those days. And their booths, their sales booths, there was downtown. Okay, then what?
So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water from the well of Bethlehem, which was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink, but poured it out to the Lord. Verse 17. And he said, quote, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Unquote. Therefore he would not drink it. These things the three mighty men did. Verse 18. Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief of the 30, and he swung his spear against 300 and killed them, and had a name as well as the three.
There are mighty men in this church that we bring messages and everything, and they receive them, and they go out, and they're working hard every day. They really give their heart, soul, mind, and strength into anything they're doing. When they're out witnessing and testifying and distributing literature, they just spread all this literature throughout every city that they're in. They're mighty men and women of valor. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so let's continue on. So you don't have to be the head of a work. You're still mentioned in the book of Acts, in the Bible. In the kingdom of heaven, you'll always be remembered as a mighty person of the Lord. Okay? So you don't have to shrink back and say, what am I getting out of this? What am I getting out of this? You're getting an eternity of honor. Amen?
Yeah.
And glory. Because you give glory unto the Lord. The Lord exalts those that abase themselves. And before destruction comes pride first. If you're full of pride because of what you do, forget that it has to be united with mercy and with humility and lowness. Amen?
Amen.
Spirit. Okay, then what else?
Verse 19. He was most honored of 30, therefore he became their commander. However, he did not attain to the three. Verse 20. Then Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done mighty deeds, killed the two sons of Moab. He also went down and killed a lion in the middle of a pit on a snowy day. Verse 21. He killed an Egyptian, an impressive man. Now the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a club and snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. Verse 22. These things Benaiah the son of Jehoiada did, and had a name as well as the three mighty men. Verse 23. He was honored among the 30, but he did not attain to the three. And David appointed him over his guard. Verse 24. Asahel, the brother of Joab, was among the 30. Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem, verse 25, Shammah the Herodite, Elikah the Herodite, verse 26, Helez the Paltite, Ira the son of Ikesh the Tekoite, verse 27, Abiezer the Anatothite, Mabunai the Hushethite, verse 28, Zalman the Ahohite, Maharai the Netophathite, verse 29, Heleb the son of Baana the Netophathite, Ittai the son of Ribai of Gibeah of the sons of Benjamin, verse 30.
But none of them could excel David. David killed Goliath, amen?
Amen.
They didn't, amen?
Amen.
And David killed many, many people. He slew them, and he was the one that trained the others. Okay, then what else?
Benaiah, a Pireth
Rapha. And David was just a little guy, amen?
Amen.
Just probably a few inches higher than a midget. But he took Goliath down in hundreds, maybe thousands. The people in Israel said, David kills the 10,000s. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
Benaiah a Pirathonite, Hiddai of the brooks of Gaash, verse 31. Abi Alban the Arbathite, Maveth the Barhumite, verse 32. Eliaba the Shalbonite, the sons of Jason, Jonathan, verse 33, Shammah the Hararite, Ahiam the son of Sherar the Ararite, verse 34, Ephelet, the son of Ahashbi, the son of the Maacathite, Eliam the son of Ahithophel the Gilonite, verse 35, Hezro the Carmelite, Perai the Arbite, verse 36, Egal the son of Nathan of Zobah, Benai the Gadite, verse 37, Zelech from Ammon, Naharai from Bera, bracket Joab's armor bearer, and bracket, verse 38, Ira from Jetir, Gareb from Jetir, verse 39, Uriah the Hittite, they were 37 in all.
All right, praise the Lord, that was 2 Samuel chapter 23, translation, and now commentary.
23 verse 3. In the style of a prophet, David spoke of a just and righteous ruler. This will be fulfilled in Jesus our Lord and Savior when he returns to rule in perfect justice and peace. For similar prophecies, you can see Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1 through 10, Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 5 through 6, chapter 33 verse 15 through 18, Zechariah chapter 9 verse 9 through 10. For the fulfillment of some of these prophecies, see Matthew chapter 4 verse 14 through 16, Luke chapter 24 verse 25 through 27, verse 44 through 49, John chapter 5 verse 45 through 47, chapter 8 verse 28 through 29, 23 verse 8 through 39. These verses tell of some of the exploits that the special corps of David's army carried out. There were two elite groups of men, one, quote, the 30, unquote, and two, quote, the 3, unquote. 23 verse 18, verse 23, and 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 11 through 25.
Right, as I say, there's, people today are, these people were symbolic of the people that are living today. I mean, because there are people that really admire false prophets like Jack Van Impe. And his wife just adores him because he has a good memory to name off different scriptures. But if you check the scriptures, they don't apply to what he's talking about. And he's really got her hoodwinked. He boasts about being a Catholic and is trying to lead everybody into the Catholic Church. And then he claims to be a Christian evangelist. And he talks about we're going to be taken out by the rapture, out of the tribulation period of time. And that just isn't going to happen. It's just plain in the Bible. Jesus said that we're going to be taken out. He's going to come back immediately after the tribulations. The tribulation period, and if we're taken out of the tribulations and everybody, how come they're still here? Because we're in the beginning of the tribulation right now. We're right in the midst of it. And This is just the beginning of sorrows, though, because the Lord, it's not going to get any less. The more belligerent people get, the more they harden their heart against the Lord and those that the Lord has put to rule over them, the more the tribulations are going to hit. And this will be the Lord disciplining people in hopes that they'll repent and begin serving Him and be part of the establishment of the kingdom of heaven on earth. But it's going to take everything that the Bible says that it's going to take. Those scriptures will come to pass, and they're coming to pass more and more every day. So people get ready to meet your God, your Creator, the Lord, because it's going to happen really soon. You're not going to be raptured out of tribulations because you're into false doctrine. You're going to wind up in the pit of hell because you're belligerent. And you're like, there's no happiness in your soul. You never see these people smiling, or they're just full of sorrow all the time. They're not happy that they're saved and that they're on their way to heaven. Because I reckon they know that they're not on their way to heaven. They know that they've got a bad spirit in them. And I'm doing a message, I believe after today I'm going to start a message regarding the spirit, how that we must put the cross to our spirit, because the Bible tells many scriptures about that. Paul said, I serve the Lord with my spirit. So the spirit has to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. And there are many other scriptures, and I'm bringing them out. I did the first in this series today, and so I believe if this is the last of this series, I can't remember because I'm always in advance. I will be doing that one tomorrow. Okay? How to discipline or apply the discipline of the Holy Spirit to your spirit. Okay, then what?
To become a member of such a group, a man had to show unparalleled courage in battle, as well as wisdom and leadership.
Right, we have to do that today. I mean, be very bold and courageous. And don't try to kick back and relax on this side of eternity, because if you do, you're going to work throughout eternity, and eternity never ends. You're going to be in a workhouse. And there's no, Fair Labor Board down there. Or there's nothing like any mercy down there whatsoever. You don't sit down. You don't lay down. You don't sleep. It's just constant. And it's constant misery and torture. And then people say, yeah, and the Lord says He loves you. Yes, He did love you, but you turned His love away and decided to be led by Satan, and Satan led you right into hell. And don't blame God for what the devil did to you and what you did to yourself. All right, then what else?
The three was the most elite group. The list of the 30 actually contains 37 names, but it mentions some warriors known to be dead, like Uriah, for instance, in 23 verse 39. Apparently, new members were appointed to replace those who had fallen in battle.
Uriah had a lot of boldness. He said, go out to the front lines, and he went right there. He didn't argue about it whatsoever. Didn't worry about his mousy flesh. He just went there. And sure, someone committed adultery. David committed adultery with his wife. But his wife wasn't worth knowing in the first place. Amen? So David did him a favor, but David didn't do himself any favor. He narrowly made it in. Okay, then what else?
23 verse 16. David poured out the water as an offering to God because he was so moved by the sacrifice it represented. When Hebrews offered sacrifices, they never consumed the blood. It represented life, and they poured it out before God. David would not drink this water that represented the lives of his soldiers.
Life blood. Amen. Then
Amen.
What else?
Instead, he offered it to God. David's mighty men. One way to understand David's success is to notice the kind of men who followed him. During the time he was being hunted by Saul, David gradually built a fighting force of several hundred men. Some were relatives, others were outcasts of society. Many were in trouble with the law. They all had at least one trait in common: complete devotion to David. Their achievements made them famous. Among these men were elite military groups like the Three and the Thirty. They were true heroes. Scriptures give the impression that these men were motivated to greatness by personal qualities of their leader. David inspired them to achieve beyond their goals and met their true potential. Likewise, the leaders we follow and the causes to which we commit ourselves will affect our lives. David's effectiveness was clearly connected with his awareness of God's people, God's leading. He was a good leader when he was following his leader, God. Do you know whom the people you respect most are following? Your answer should help you decide whether they deserve your loyalty. Do you also recognize God's leading in your life? No one can lead you to excellence as your Creator can. Strengths and accomplishments. 1. Able soldiers and military leaders. 2. They shared many special skills. 3. Though frequently outnumbered, were consistently victorious. 4. Loyal to David. Their weaknesses and mistakes. 1. Often had little in common beyond their loyalty to David and their military expertise. Lessons we can learn from their lives. 1. Greatness is often inspired by the quality and character of leadership. 2. Even a small force of able and loyal men can accomplish great feats. Vital statistics. 1. They came from all over Israel, primarily Judea and Benjamin, and from some of the other surrounding nations as well. Occupations, various backgrounds, almost all were fugitives. Key verses, quote, "So David departed from Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's household heard of it, they went down there to him. Everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him, and he became captain over them. Now there were about 400 men with him," unquote, 1 Samuel 22, verse 1 through 2. Their stories are told in 1 Samuel chapter 22 through 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 39. They are also mentioned in 1 Chronicles chapters 11 through 12. Abishai's story is told in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18, chapter 3, verse 19. He's also mentioned in 1 Samuel chapter 26, verses 1 through 18, 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 16, chapter 11, verse 20, chapter 18, verse 12, chapter 19, verse 11, and verse 15. 22, verse 11. Cherubim is plural of cherub, mighty angels. That's who cherubs are.
You don't say cherubims as plural. It's cherubim means one or many. Okay. There were 1,000 cherubim, 2,000 cherubim, whatever. Two cherubim. It's always singular, but it means plural. All right. Then what else?
2, verse 22 through 24. David was not denying that he had ever sinned. Psalm 51 shows his tremendous anguish over his sin against Uriah and Bathsheba. But David understood God's faithfulness and was witnessing this hymn from God's perspective. He knew that God had made him clean again. Whiter than snow, Psalm 51, verse 7, with a clean heart, Psalm 51, verse 10. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we also have been made clean and perfect if we come unto him and receive his salvation and continue in his salvation in obedience to the end. Too many ministers are saying that God just condones sin, and this is a lie out of hell. God doesn't replace our sin with his purity. What he does is he washes our sins away and gives us the Spirit in us to cause us to, if our will be so, to continue in purity. And if we do that, he no longer sees our former sins. But theologians today are saying that God no longer sees our sins when we sin. They are people of the devil. 22 verse 27, quote, "With the perverted you show yourself astute," unquote, means that to those who sin, God is a judge who will punish them for their sins. God destroys those who are evil, Thus saith the Lord.
Well, that, right, that was chapter 23 of 2 Samuel, 39 verses, the translation. And you've heard a couple of letters here. And how many minutes have we gone so far? Okay, and so this tape so far is 52 minutes. And so what I'm going to do is end this tape now by telling you all, this is Pastor Tony Alamo, and meditate on these things that you've learned today or you've been reproved of. The Bible states that the reproof of the word of the Lord is the way of life. And so if you've known these things, it's really good for you to have been reminded of them again through reproof. Amen? So keep them on your mind. Maybe you've drifted away somewhat and you needed this reproof of the word of the Lord. And now I'm going to begin chapter 11 or part 11 of the accepting or receiving the discipline of the Holy Spirit. And until chapter 24 of 2 Samuel, this is Tony Alamo saying, God bless you and praise the Lord.